Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host of the day, Anthony Wood, and with me today is Jake Asman himself. Jake, thank you very much for joining us on such short notice. How are you doing?
Hey, Anthony, no problem. I mean, when the Texans fire a GM on June 7th, it calls for an emergency podcast, so I totally get it.
It certainly does. So let's kick off with the big news, of course. Obviously, Brian Gain leaving the job after about 18 months. What's your take on this?
I'm really surprised and I'm confused. You know, as we sit here and tape this on a Friday night after the news came down a couple hours ago, I think there's so much that has to still be addressed, so much that has to still be discovered about this decision. But my initial reaction was just absolute surprise. I mean, the team that I follow closely, the New York Jets, they got rid of their GM a month ago on May 15th, and that was considered extremely late. So for the Texans to do this on June 7th is just unbelievable to me. And quite frankly, I don't know if we're ever going to get the full story, but I just find it, you know, absolutely stunning that they would get rid of a GM a year and a half into his tenure after his first year, by all accounts, was a success. The team went 11-5. You look at his draft from a year ago, they didn't have a first or a second round pick. He hit on several of his draft picks despite not having, huge assets early on in the first two rounds. And, you know, overall, the Texans were a team that, by and large, had a successful year. I know it didn't end how Texans fans wanted it to end with a first round elimination, but, you know, to get rid of a GM on June 7th, to me, is just absolutely stunning. So I'm sure we'll find out more as we go along, but the initial reaction was a shock when I saw the news.
You're absolutely right. It was definitely a shocking decision so late. I mean, like you mentioned again, the Jets obviously getting rid of Mike Maccagnan in May. We thought that was ridiculous. Why did they wait so long? But this is a stunning move as far as I'm concerned. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of Texans fans out there are quite happy to see Gain go, but such short notice. I mean, it's only been 18 months since he's been there. And like you mentioned, he hit on people like Justin Reed last year. I mean, he didn't have a bad draft at all. And what's to say that this year's draft was any better? What we don't know yet, but there's no reason necessarily right now to think that it's any worse. So it's a bit of a puzzling decision, but it does obviously beg a couple of questions. First of all, how much of a role do you think Bill O'Brien had in this? Do you think this really shows, like you mentioned earlier on Twitter, that this is his team?
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, you mentioned the Jets. I brought up the Jets. I mean, Mike Maccagnan had been there for 4.5 years, and there was a new head coach coming in. And, you know, there was nobody in New York that would have been surprised that Mike Maccagnan was fired in January with Todd Bowles before they ended up hiring Adam Gase. So that situation, while the timing of it still doesn't make sense to wait till after the draft for free agency to get rid of the GM, at least that one is more understanding than this. You know, this was a GM that was handpicked by Bill O'Brien. After all we heard with Rich Smith and Bill O'Brien was they didn't see eye to eye. They didn't get along. A big emphasis all year long being around the team and hearing O'Brien speak about Gain was how Bill O'Brien would always point to the fact that him and Brian Gain were aligned properly. They used the word alignment as a big buzzword that you would hear from the Texans this year. Yeah. And Brian Gain being fired on June 7th, a year and a half in, does not screen to me anything about alignment. So, you know, you mentioned Bill O'Brien. I tweeted about it, as you said. To me, I knew Bill O'Brien had a lot of control. I mean, we knew that when he survived the power struggle with Rick Smith. But, I mean, getting rid of a GM a year and a half in, if that doesn't tell you that Bill O'Brien is calling the shots, I don't know what will.
Absolutely. But again, another couple points that come off of this, that is, having such a big decision made only 18 months into his obviously reign as GM, does this mean that Bill O'Brien's on a slightly shorter leash heading into this year? Do you think Cal McNair's going to be thinking, right, if this happens to backfire on you, you're the one that's going to take the blame? Or does it show that he simply has that much faith in his coach?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and one that we're honestly not going to know until we kind of see how the year unfolds. If the Texans have a year where, let's say, they go 8-8 or, you know, 9-7 and miss the playoffs, whatever the case may be, and it's a disappointing year, I don't know if that would cost Bill O'Brien his job, because then you have a new GM that's coming in, and then are you going to get rid of both the new GM you bring in and Bill O'Brien? How much say is O'Brien going to have now in the new GM that's picked? You would think a lot based on the fact that O'Brien's the only real football guy they have left, you know, in the organization. So there's so many questions there, and obviously if they just have a terrible season, then yeah, I'm sure there's a scenario where O'Brien could be out of his job, and they go 4-12, and you know, maybe they would clean house. I just think we're opening up now a Pandora's box with so many different possibilities. And I honestly can't sit here and answer that question because I just don't know, you know, who the new GM's going to be and obviously how much say, I think a lot of say, but how much say Bill O'Brien's going to have and who that next general manager is.
And what I think is really interesting about this is I think it's going to go one of two ways moving forward. The job could either be looked at as a very, very appealing job. Obviously, they've got good players, franchise quarterbacks, some good talent surrounding him on defense and on offense, a good chunk of salary cap remaining as well to chase after free agents and to sort out Jadeveon Clowney's contract. But on the other hand, is a GM really going to want to come into a situation where he knows that clearly his job is never safe? If anything, if he sets a foot wrong, O'Brien may want to cut him straight away. I mean, how do you see that? Do you see it as an appealing job now, or one that some candidates may want to stay away from?
You know, it's fascinating. I happen to think that this job is very attractive because you're talking about a team with a franchise quarterback already in place, and that's not the case always for teams that are looking for general managers. You have a quarterback entering his third year in the league that's primed to continue to get better. He's still on that rookie deals. The Texans still do have salary cap flexibility. They certainly have really good skill position players on offense. Obviously, you have a Hall of Famer in J.J. Watt and several other really good players on that defense. You mentioned Justin Reed, who was a prime game pick. That looks like he could be a perennial Pro Bowl-type player entering
absolutely
year two. I think the Texans roster-wise, they have talent. This is a good football team. I just think the question you would have if you're a candidate that's considering this job is, well, do you actually get say over the personnel? Do you actually get to be the general manager, or is it really Bill O'Brien calling the shots? And if you're just a puppet for Bill O'Brien, do you want to take that job, knowing that if the Texans underperform, maybe Bill O'Brien is the guy that gets fired in January after the season? So I'm just fascinated by all the possibilities here, but I do think this is an attractive job. This is not a bad football team. They won 11 games a year ago, franchise quarterback in place, and they still have plenty of salary cap flexibility, about $40 million in cap space, which I think is more than any other team outside of maybe the Indianapolis Colts right now. So hey, there are certainly a lot of things to like about this team, but the one thing that a new GM is going to have to deal with, and you hit on it, Anthony, is Jadeveon Clowney, and obviously how that situation ends up resolving itself. Do they trade him? Do they extend him? Does he hold out without a new deal? Kind of what that situation unfolds, how that goes, that's going to be probably objective number one for whoever the new GM is.
And what I think is, again, something that's definitely going to be worth watching out for this year is that I know that Charles James, he posted, former Texans cornerback, he obviously posted earlier on today saying that it was a real shame Brian Gain was one of the good guys. Looking ahead this year, I mean, this is really Brian Gain's roster now. He's had a full draft with first and second round picks. He had three in the top 100. And he's had a full free agency to bring in some more players of his own. It's really his team. So how well or not well this team does, I mean, a lot of it's going to be put on his shoulders. So I'm going to definitely be keeping a closer eye on that. But one of the questions that I have to ask you is, how much do you think Jadeveon Clowney's situation had to do with Gain ultimately leaving his position? Do you think it was that he couldn't sort that out, that perhaps was the final nail in the coffin?
You know, I'm not sure if Clowney in particular was a situation that ultimately led to Gain losing his job. I think it could be just a combination of things. Maybe the Texans have looked at it like they did not feel they were as aggressive on free agents the last 2 years.
Definitely.
With their cap space as maybe they wanted them to be. Maybe O'Brien wanted to see Gain spend more money and fill up some needs. Maybe Kyle McNair gave the blessing to spend away in free agency and was surprised that Gain chose not to do it. You know, I just think there's a lot of factors that we can look at. I do think the Clowney situation plays a part in all this, but I also have heard from people inside that building that they do want to sign Clowney long-term. They just got to find a way to make a deal that makes sense for both sides. They don't look at Jadeveon Clowney as J.J. Watt. They don't look at him as Aaron Donald. He's a very good player, but he's not someone that should be getting the type of money that Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald got a year ago. And Clowney obviously is going to argue, well, he's the next guy up. He should get that. And I don't know if that works with defensive linemen like it does with quarterbacks, so the next quarterback that's up for a contract gets paid the most. So I think that's where that dialogue, that back and forth between Clowney and the Texans becomes interesting. But I've heard from everyone in that building, anyone that I've spoken to, that they want Clowney back. They just want it back at the right price. And one thing about Clowney that I don't think is being talked a lot about is the fact that the year that J.J. Watt had a year ago, I think indirectly is affecting Clowney in this contract negotiation. Because if J.J. Watt had come back a year ago, and let's say he was good but not what he was last year, where he had 16.5 sacks and, you know, was clearly the old J.J. Watt, if he just had an okay year, I think they'd be more inclined to lock up Clowney. But because they saw J.J. was so good last year, I think they're a bit hesitant to just throw out a bunch of money at Jadeveon Clowney. I do think they'll work out a deal, but I think it's something that's worth following along, especially when the new GM coming in, maybe that new GM coming in actually wants to trade Clowney, and then that could change a lot.
Certainly, and I've heard also from in the building from John Harris, Texans writer and analyst, that Whitney Mercilus as well apparently has bounced back, and he's had a very good camp so far this year. And I know that one of the players I'm looking forward to seeing in particular is Charles Omenihu at defensive end as well. So there's talent around Clowney as well as J.J. Watt. That's a very good point, definitely there. And something else that I also read earlier on from Texans writer Patrick Starr, he said that there's one thing I was told when Cal McNair took over. McNair has little patience for mistakes and is more willing to cut bait when things are not right. So I wonder how much that had to do with this decision. But looking forwards, are there any particular candidates that you think the Texans will be focusing on? I know I've heard the names Nick Cassero and Joe Douglas thrown around, but have you heard any others?
I think Cassero is certainly a name you look at because they tried to interview him the last time around that this spot was open. Douglas is someone that I think would have been a great fit for the team that just hired him. The team we spent a little time talking about at the beginning, the Jets, actually just moments ago, finalized the deal with Joe Douglas.
Oh, really?
Contract. So the Jets made a huge commitment to Joe Douglas, and he's going to be their new GM. So, you know, honestly, indirectly, I think maybe Gane getting fired today forced the Jets to kind of pony up some extra money and get this deal done, knowing that Joe Douglas could possibly be a candidate for the Texans. So I think that's something that's fascinating on a side note. But I'm going to be curious what they do with their candidates here. The name you keep hearing is Nick Cassero from the Patriots. Obviously, he doesn't have the GM title there, but he basically is the de facto GM of the New England Patriots based on everything you hear about him. So I'm going to be curious to see what direction they go in. Cody Stutes at sportsmap.com wrote an interesting piece detailing some possible names that the Texans could look at, but there's no doubt about it for me. Bill O'Brien's going to have a massive say in this. So I think you start with who O'Brien has worked with in the past, and you kind of go from there to try and figure out some possible candidates.
So it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks in and around the NRG, definitely, to see who ends up taking that job. And I can't help but wonder if perhaps they would have been better off doing this a couple of months ago, simply for the fact that other candidates may have still been on the market, such as Joe Douglas, for example, who we just mentioned. They've not put themselves in a fantastic position here, but who knows? It may end up paying off for them. Jake, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Oh, sorry, did you have another point?
No, I was just going to say, you know, just on top of that, just, you know, maybe some other guys to look out for. Scott Pioli left the Atlanta Falcons position. He's someone that worked with Bill O'Brien and
absolutely
Romeo Crennel with the Patriots. He was with Romeo Crennel in Kansas City. Elliot Wolf is the assistant general manager under John Dorsey in Cleveland. I don't believe he's ever had any, crossing paths with O'Brien, but he's a hot name that could be considered. But yeah, I'm as shocked as you are, Anthony. I just thought that this decision was made on June 7th. I did not think we'd be talking about a new GM for the Texans, but, you know, that's sports for you. You never know.
Exactly. On the plus side, I mean, it's been a very quiet couple of weeks in the NFL, so at least it gives us something interesting to talk about and to discuss. And I'm sure we'll be, this is something that's going to be on everyone's lips for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Houston's just thankful they got the Astros, man. I'll tell you that much.
certainly. Jake, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
You can check me out on my Twitter, Anthony, @JakeAsman. That's Jake, A-S-M-A-N. I do shows on SB Nation Radio, and I cover the Texans and do shows for ESPN 97.5 here in Houston.
Jake, thank you very much for speaking to us. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter @ARWoodNFL. And of course, geek up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire USA Today.